Welcome to the SportsCentric Podcast. I'm your host, Saeed. I'm here with my boy, West Coast Zoe. Zoe, what is good?
Hey, man, you know, it's a Tuesday. It's my wedding anniversary. We out here chilling today. About to watch the wedding video tonight and eat some popcorn, man. And it's feeling good outside in California, man. How you holding up over there?
Just chilling, bro. Let's talk about Wisconsin. Kyle, what was his last name? Rittenham?
Rittenhouse.
I want you to just tell the people what happened. I'm sure everybody's seen it. Tell the people what happened. I want to hear your thoughts, man, about the whole situation. So
it started with the Jacob Blake thing. We addressed that when it happened, right? And we just thought, okay, that was that situation, right? Jacob Blake, blah, blah, blah. That situation happened. He's alive. Paralyzed from the waist down. He might be able to walk. We don't know, but at least no one's dead in that situation, right? Then, of course, you have protests because as police shootings against unarmed African-Americans keep happening, every time it happens now, people are like, we're going to keep protesting until it stops, right? So whatever you expected. Now, Kenosha, the town of Kenosha, is not a big city. But some people came in there to protest, right? To peacefully protest. And that's how almost all of them always start, which is the peaceful protest people with signs. But rumor has, again, I wasn't there, but rumor has that people from out of town came, right, and started, you know, causing up trouble or whatever, like breaking shit or like burning shit. I don't know if shit got burned or whatever, but I think some shit did. But anyways, rumor is those people came from out of town.
A few businesses got burned down.
Yeah, and so I watched a video of a dude from Kenosha was like, it's not even that much of us out here to be acting like this, so it's definitely people from other towns, you know, burning shit down and fucking shit up for no reason, whatever. So as that's happening, Kyle Rittenhouse and his parents have a militia or some shit like that, and they're from Illinois. And they think it's their public duty, civic duty, to go into Wisconsin with these weapons when no one asked them to go defend businesses that the businesses did not ask a 17-year-old to come defend their business. Anyways, these people decide it's their duty to go to another state to defend that state that didn't ask for them. It's just going on. Of course, you have your protesters, then you have counter-protesters. Where it starts with Kyle, right? The very first video was of him, I think it's like at a gas station. He's like, yo, and you hear the gunshot and he's running and somebody's recording and he calls his friend and said, hey, I just shot someone. And he's running away. And that's where it starts. Then, as he's running, the other video, the very popular one, he is in the street and people are chasing him. And you hear people saying, yo, get him. He shot somebody. And so one dude, unfortunately, two people were killed from this 17-year-old and three were shot. Some dude with a skateboard goes and like swings at him, right? And he's trying to take his gun away. And Kyle, you know, shoots that guy, kills him, and then stands up and then like fires off like five more shots. It just looks like random areas. And then he walks up to the cops and, you know, he gets taken into custody eventually. So that's the gist of what happened there, right? The reason that they were attacking him and trying to take his gun away is because he shot someone. That's just the facts. Now, if he was defending himself, right, I could see people say it was self-defense because he was getting attacked with a skateboard. But why were you getting attacked with a skateboard? Because you shot someone. I don't know if I would want to try to take the dude's gun away, but anyways, you know, it's sad that three people got killed. And this whole situation could have been avoided if those people that didn't even live there would have just stayed home. No one would have died from that event, from this kid, if they didn't decide it was on their duty to go defend businesses that weren't theirs. So what are your thoughts on the situation after me explaining that? Or what did you hear different?
Here's the things that I heard. I heard that he did live in Illinois. I heard that it was 28 minutes away from Kenosha. Mm-hmm. He worked earlier that day in Kenosha. He worked as a lifeguard, and then later on that day, he there was pictures of him cleaning graffiti in that town. I guess that's the biggest town around, and he frequents that town often. That's what I heard. Mm-hmm. This is what he's claiming. Okay, I don't know if this is true, but this is what he's claiming, is that he was asked. They asked him to watch the businesses, not just him, but there was quite a few people there with weapons watching businesses, which the night before there was looting, there was rioting. I saw multiple cars on fire. I saw an interview with a couple. Their businesses had got burned down. I saw they own, like, I think a furniture store got burned down. I saw a person with the the dealership that got burned down. Well, just some businesses got tore up and burned down and whatnot. Uh-huh. From what I saw, the first video that I saw, okay, he was running away. Someone threw something at him. Some people are saying it was some sort of, like, you know, Mazel Tov cocktail, but a lot of other people are saying no, it was like a bag of groceries or something, okay? But they were chasing him. Two guys were chasing him. Somebody threw something at him. There was a gunshot fired in the air. And this was all in the New York Post, but he was running away. And after he heard the gunshot, he turned around and he killed that one guy. And then after that, we all saw that other video of when he was running away. Maybe they were trying to stop him and whatnot. I mean, he fell down. And we all saw the video. He was running away. He fell down. Yep. Homeboy tried to hit him with the skateboard. Mm-hmm. He shot, killed him. And the other guy, he had a pistol. There was a picture of him with a pistol. I guess he was trying to take his gun or whatnot. And I'm not sure. So he killed two guys there, and he shot the other dude in the arm. My thing is, he shouldn't have been there.
That's what I'm saying.
He shouldn't have been there. And the thing is, like, I put this on the law enforcement, the mayor, they should have stopped whatever was happening. Because people's businesses got burnt down the night before, you know? So people, I saw a lot of guys were out there with machine guns or rifles protecting the businesses because, you know, the city didn't do a good job of protecting it, but he shouldn't have been there, bro. Like, he shouldn't have been there. Do I think he's going to get charged with murder? I don't think so. Because I think there's a really big case for self-defense, and he just shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't have been in that position. That's being 17 years old to be making those sort of decisions. But also, I think a lot of the blame goes to the city, the police officers, the governor, whoever is in charge of protecting the city. It goes on them for not protecting the city to where the citizens felt they had to have armed guards guard their property. Well, he shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, so we both agree he should not have been there. That was none of their business. That was not their business. The businesses did not hire them at all. They just thought they're a militia of vigilantes, right? Which is cool in Batman and stuff, but in real life, you went there with guns, right? And what I don't understand, because I saw one picture at first of the guy that said he had a pistol, and the very first one I saw, there was no pistol. And then next, I see the same picture now, and there's a pistol in there. And I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know. I feel like one of them are Photoshop, so I don't know. Because if you had a pistol, and you see that guy shot somebody, and you're trying to, why wouldn't you just shoot him versus trying to grab your gun when you already had a pistol? It doesn't make sense to me. If you have a pistol, you're going to swing a skateboard at him, and he has a gun, he's already shot someone.
No, the dude who got his arm almost blown off, he didn't get killed. He had a pistol. It wasn't the guy that escaped.
Then why wouldn't he shoot himself? Why wouldn't he shoot back either? Then is my question.
I know. I think he came out and he said that he wished he had shot him, and killed him earlier. I think he already.
I didn't see that, but so we both agree with that. You know how this all could have been avoided as well.
Yeah.
If that police officer didn't shoot Jacob 7 times in the back, if that did not happen, then none of this would have happened.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah, go ahead. Because if that one situation did not happen, there'd be no protest. Kyle wouldn't decide it's his civic duty as a 17-year-old to go and protect a business that wasn't his, that no one asked him to. He wouldn't have shot 3 people and killed 2. None of that would have happened.
But do you see the case of maybe it was some self defense involved, like they were attacking him?
I could see him defending himself after he hit the ground. Yes, the first shot, don't know, but when he gets up and I hear like 5 more shots, that's no longer self defense.
I didn't see the five extra shots.
I think I still have the video saved to my phone, so I'll send it to you and you can listen to it. Because he shoots whatever, and he gets up. And now I'm not there, right? So, and you see him pointing, and you hear the 5 shots, you see everyone running away. He was aiming, like he was firing warning shots or whatever. But again, that's illegal for the 17-year-old to even be doing in a crowd of people to begin with. So, 1 shot, not good. Self defense, okay, maybe. But then you get up and start shooting, not good again.
He just shouldn't have been in that position.
They shouldn't have went there.
Yeah, it was a mistake.
At least we all agree they should not have been there, man.
And to tell you the truth, like, bro, the country is because there's been a lot of rioting, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of rioting across the different cities. There's been a lot of businesses, you know, that have been, you know, burnt down or looted or whatever. There's been people that, you know, like David Dorn. I'm sure you heard about David Dorn. There's been people that's been killed in like all this chaos. You know, we're lucky that freaking a lot of people, a lot of business owners just aren't protecting their properties and freaking shooting these people. You know,
well, hopefully they have insurance, because if they have insurance and their thing gets burned down, then they get that money back.
No, I feel you, but okay. Let's say, because I saw a George Floyd situation, they burnt down like Targets. You feel me? They'll get their money back, but how many hundreds of people can't work? You know, mm-hmm. It's not right.
It's definitely unfortunate, man. Like,
yeah,
when people going out of jobs and stuff, it's definitely unfortunate, man.
It's not right. But let's get back to Jacob Blake, okay? Mm-hmm. Have you heard? Have you gotten? Because I heard a lot more details versus what we talked about last week. Have you heard about why the police were there? Have you heard that
portion? Yep. So all reports I'm hearing, there was a domestic dispute, but he wasn't actually the one doing the fighting. He was breaking up this time. So I heard he has a pass, right? Like a lot of people have a pass. But anyways, when the police came, and his sons were in the car, so eyewitness, this older white guy was like, he said when he saw it unfolding in front of him, because he lived across the street and he was interviewed, he said he thought the whole time that after when the police came and they were targeting Jacob, he was like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I'm here. He was upset because he said the police were coming at Jacob when Jacob wasn't the one doing it. He was the one breaking it up. And he was, I'm going to go. And his sons were in the car, or his children were in the car. And he thought Jacob was going to check on his children or leave. And then that's what happened. Then he changed the story a little bit. But if you go look it up, it's an old white dude. He lives across the street. Eyewitness. That was what he said. Again, as always, I wasn't there. I'm not Jacob. I'm not the police officer. So I can't say who said what or what actually happened. But just from what I saw and from what the eyewitness said, that's what the whole incident was about.
Here's what I've heard. Okay. Uh-huh. This is what I've heard. Okay. I heard that you know that he had warrants out, open warrants. One of them was sexual assault. Mm-hmm. I heard that he came to that residence, same residence of the female that he's accused of sexually assaulting. Okay. And there's a he basically there was a trespass. He couldn't be around her. Basically, there was some sort of trespassing implementation thing around him and her. Okay, I heard that she called the cops asking for help. Okay, when they got there, she told him who he was. And they told him, hey, and I heard the dispatcher, they said, this is a code 99. 99 is the highest threat you can be, you know? So they got there. I told you about the part where they wrestled with him. They tased him. They knew he had a knife. He reached for the knife and they shot him. But the reason they were there is because.
We don't know. We don't know if he reached for a knife. So we can't say he reached for a knife.
That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. I don't know. But first came out, this is what you heard. This is what I heard, is he was breaking up the fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? And they came in, they were messing with him and he didn't comply. They shot him. But the story I'm hearing now is that he was at the victim's house. She called asking for help, you know, and they came to help her. Mm. And during of them trying to arrest them, you know, I haven't seen the video of them wrestling with him or tasing him. I think there's something either. I haven't seen them, but apparently, you know, and he wouldn't stop, you know, and that's how he got shot. And I heard, I'm not sure if this is true, but the woman, that's the story I'm hearing.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see. We'll see what Jacob Blake and the lady that called, whoever called the cops,
on whether called the cops on him.
Okay, we just got to see what they say at this point, right? Because there's probably reports already taken, and they're going to be open to the public, I'm sure. Yeah, and Jacob Blake is still alive, so he'll be able to talk himself.
Have you not heard that this victim called the cops on him?
Nope. I have not heard that. So, yep. And what I don't trust is if it's people that are like every situation, like if I see that report, I go to see who says the report. If every situation you make it look like black people are always wrong in every scenario, then I'm not going to trust your source or your report. Cause I'm like, you clearly found that somewhere you wanted to find it. Now, if I go and check your feed, cause I'm doing a lot of my stuff, just if I see it off Twitter or Reddit or if I go to the actual news report, the website, and see who says it. Because, like a lot of people say, people do have agendas, right? But if you're just people have been tweeting stuff with no sources, and it's just been going viral, and people have been taking those tweets and using it as facts.
Yeah. I'm like, I watched Tim Pool. He's like a alternative media, and he usually quotes sources from like the New York Post or something. So it's not something like Fox News. You know how Fox News or CNN, they both slant it in their ways, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Fox is heavy right. CNN's more left for sure. I feel like New York Post is also kind of right. There's a website my wife goes to. We have it favorited, but it's an unbiased news source. And all they post is what happened. They don't say, they don't try to slant it. It was like, at this time, a man got shot this many times in the back. And that's the story. So that's where we like to go to get like our news. Didn't say what happened or if he was doing this happened. This is the result in the story. So they're really short articles. I'll try to get it for you when my wife comes home. And I can send you that way. If you want news, it's just like unbiased, pure. Here's what happened.
But I want to hit topic just really quickly. Okay. We saw Norvell, Mullen and Saban go on these what are these, like, social justice walks with their players?
Yeah, man. Him, Mullen, and Saban. They all three did it, man.
So what do you think? What do you think? You feel good about it?
I definitely feel like it's pandering, bro. But like, yeah. Honestly, if it makes the players feel like their coach got their back, because Manny Diaz has been doing that off rip. But Ole Miss did it. That was what shocked me. Because I have a buddy that played for Southern Miss, and he would do ROTC at Ole Miss because that was the closest one. And he said there would be KKK rallies outside the school. And to see the athletes stand up and do that, like, to me, I'm like, that one was kind of because them KKK boys could be aggressive, and black and the black athletes, though they're bigger, were out there marching. Remember, Plies made a video calling out a bunch of head coaches. I feel like they kind of might have caught some slack. It's like, all right, maybe. I still haven't seen anything from Dabo. I'll say that.
Yeah.
So I can still talk shit about him.
One thing I noticed about Saban stuff, just real quick, none of his players wore a Black Lives Matter shirt.
Saban, I seen some of them had signs with the fist and stuff like that on it.
But none of them, and I like that. You know why I like that is because I think, you know, whether you support it or I don't, or it's very divisive, you know, and just to go out there.
To me, that phrase, though, shouldn't be divisive. You can make your own shirt that says Black Lives Matter, and that shouldn't be. The fact that me saying my life matters shouldn't be a controversial topic.
No, I feel you, but, you know, it's divisive. It's divisive because there's bad people attaching their name to it.
But still, think about it this way.
Foul stuff while the name – that's why it's divisive. No one –
what's the last thing we heard from her, though? What's the last thing we really – from those people that people keep bringing up? It's not like they're always out there representing Black Lives Matter. Like, I saw that one clip. Right.
I just saw the other day they were marching in the Black Lives Matter. They were marching, I think, in Oakland or somewhere.
Okay.
And they were walking down the street screaming "Death to America." Okay. People don't like it. If any group of people are marching down the street screaming "Death to America," people aren't gonna like that.
All right, well, send me that so I can look at it, because when I hear that, I got to see what they're saying, because I'm not seeing, like, kill every white American in America. I'm thinking, my first thought as far as what the movement is going, right, is depth to the way old America, like racist America, is what I'm seeing. That's why I want to see the video. If they're not saying what I'm thinking, then I could be wrong. But what I first thought, like, they're probably talking about this depth to the old America. Because you look at Black Lives Matter, and people say they don't want to support it because the founder said she was trained Marxist. But we support America, and their founders were slave owners, right? You can look past that and say they're the greatest people of all time, and you support it 100%. You live here. These black people, again, everyone knows. It's no longer a secret. Everyone knows. Every single person now knows that everyone out here saying Black Lives Matter is not saying I'm a Marxist or I'm a communist or I want to kill or anything. They're saying, hey, I want you to understand that I'm a human being and my life matters. I feel like that is the consensus.
And we saw the video.
Your radicals. You got your radicals.
And in DC,
on every side.
But we saw the video on DC when, you know, they were harassing the people that were eating. I'm sure you've seen it within the festival.
Yeah, I saw that one. Again, remember, I told you, they're crazy people.
Exactly. I agree with you. They're extremists, okay?
Yeah.
But you, the perspective is like, okay, people, when they see that, when they see people saying "Death to America," or they see them harassing people on the streets, or they see people burning down buildings wearing a BLM shirt, some people are not going to like it. They're just like, no, I don't like that. You know,
I think it
makes sense.
I don't think it makes sense either, because I think it's like fear mongering. You're showing this when 9 times out of 10, if you look at majority, because there's been so many protests, like out here, so many protests in California. I've been up and down California. And I haven't found any protests yet. I don't know where to find them, I guess, that I've seen shit burning down. Like, I'm here. I live here. I haven't seen anything burn down. I feel like
watch somebody get killed. Watch somebody get killed by the cops. And it'll happen.
It could, you know, because Californians, I mean, they're a big one. They love protesting. But again, you see it, right? And like, I don't see a Black Lives Matter, I'm afraid, but I feel like Fox News and those things, like, they keep pushing this. This is what's gonna happen. They're gonna come for you. They're gonna kill you. They're gonna rob you. They're gonna rape you. They're gonna burn down your house. And it's like, that's not what's happening. Like,
some buildings are getting burned. It's happening. People have died.
I feel like they're definitely trying to say, like, how you say that black people aren't getting killed by cops that much. I feel like it's happening. Like it's pushing fear, right? They're coming to take your house.
Yeah,
who's coming to take your house?
Yeah,
who's coming to take your house? You know what I mean?
Of course, but like I've seen countless different videos, and this is not from Fox News, of just like extremists, and I agree with you. I definitely don't think it's the majority, but there's people out there who they're extreme, you know, and like the example of the people eating lunch, you know, on the sidewalk and being harassed. Yo, what if that was your wife, bro? You know, and she's eating lunch and you have a group of 15 people, you know, just harassing her. That's not right, man. You know, that's not right. It could happen to anybody, you know.
But then, like, but there's harassment on both sides. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I would never go up to fucking people eating and be like, "You better say this." Like, that's to me, that's weird.
Crazy.
That's kind of crazy.
That's crazy. Ugly.
But again, I always when I see crazy, I'm like, dude, that's crazy. Come on, like, you talk to reasonable people, right? You talk to me. Hey, do you support Black Lives Matter? Yeah. That's it. I'm not gonna be like, you better support her or I'm about to kill you. Like, no, because that's crazy talk. Those are crazy people.
That's you, but there is a little like segment
majority are me. I feel like, and everyone I know is me. Now, granted, I have some people that kind of ignorant, right? Because we grew up in some ignorant places. But I feel like majority of people I know, and I know if you look at like my Facebook, it's like I got 2,000 friends. I'd say like 1,500 of them are black. And majority of all of them are like me. Like, yeah, nah, that's a little bit too much, man. Like, that's kind of crazy.
And I'm you know what's crazy about the craziest thing? But these Black Lives Matter, like, extremists, they're almost all white people.
Yeah, I've been seeing that too, man. That's kind of weird.
It's not black people. I'm tell you what, Tuzo, what's the craziest? If it's black people, it's usually black women. It's not black men. These extremists.
I haven't seen all the videos you've seen.
I've seen so many of them.
I don't know how you be finding these videos, bro. I don't know what you be on. You always be finding these videos. I guess I don't be looking for them like that. But
I have a new source who goes over, you know, one of my news sources, one of alternative news sources. He shows a lot. He shows these videos. He makes comments about them. But let's move on, bro. LeBron James, my boy. LeBron
advanced next. Yep, next phase. He advanced.
Let's talk about the protest.
Oh, LeBron's okay. So let's protesting. LeBron in the protest. So what happens? Obviously, they're like, "Hey, after the shooting in in Kenosha, the Bucks decide we're gonna take a break against the Magic. We're not gonna play." The Magic still wanted to play, but then they all took a break. Then everyone else was like, "You know what? We're gonna take a break too." LeBron was like, "We should probably just cancel this shit completely." But then, you know, it lasted like everybody took one day off just to kind of like take a break, and then they had a meeting, and it was like, you know, we'll continue pushing, because some people were like, "Hey, I understand where you're coming from, right? We want to do this, but some of these rookies, like, you don't get paid unless you play, and some of them can't afford to take time off." And so they came to an agreement. It was like, you know, I understand it's the best thing to do, but not everyone has money like we all do. So we're going to keep playing so these guys can continue to get paid and pay their mortgages and take care of their families. And so they made the gesture, but it was like a one-day, two-day type thing.
Did you see Stephen A. report about LeBron?
Nah, what do you say about it?
I guess they said that LeBron rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Like, he made a speech or something, and just he rubbed everybody the wrong way. I don't know. That's the only person I heard talk about it. I guess he was saying, you know, I got to take care of the guys beneath me or something like that. You know, he made it seem like, yo, I'm the king.
I'll just do it to see what he was talking about.
Yeah. Again, I don't know. He's the only person who I heard report that. A lot of these other journalists are kind of like, some of them are fanboys for LeBron. You know, they don't really like Nick Wright.
Wright loves LeBron, man.
Or Shannon Sharp, they really don't criticize LeBron like that. But yeah, do you think it was effective?
I mean, it got the word out. Like, it brought more attention. I think, I respect what they were trying to do, and I get it. I appreciated it, right? Because it's like, hey, I know we're athletes. For the most part, we don't have to really go through what you guys go through in as much. Though, there's been Bucks players, Knicks players. There's been a couple NBA players that still get their, like, get harassed, or they've been beat up by the police. So some of them still go through it. But they did that to kind of show, like, solidarity with, hey, I get we're rich now, right? And we live in nice neighborhoods where police don't usually come and fuck with us anymore. But we're doing this to show you, like, hey, we're not just going to be like, oh, we're no longer black. Like, they did it to kind of stand with the movement. So I honestly appreciated that, man. Like, and I get them wanting to play back to get money in the rookies' pockets and stuff like that, too. So I appreciate the movement, man. I know it wasn't the biggest thing in the world, but it was something. And they're not activists. They're just athletes. So some of them just did what they thought was the best thing to do.
LeBron made some comments. I think he said, like, as black people, we're all, you know, we're scared. Something like that. Of the police. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, bro.
LeBron, obviously, no one can speak for all black people, obviously.
Yeah.
No one can. Not one person in the world can speak for all black people. Because not all
especially
black people.
LeBron. Especially LeBron.
But LeBron, he does speak for a lot of people. There are some people that are genuinely afraid when they see a cop and their heart starts racing. Like, fuck. Like, what? I hope I'm not doing anything wrong or illegal. I hope I don't run to race cops. Some people are genuinely afraid of police.
Are you? You're afraid
even
of
if
police?
They're not. No, I'm not really. Well, I get nervous sometimes. Like, especially if it's like nighttime, I'm like, fuck. Because, like,
are you
what
afraid?
If I reach for something and it's because my window's tinted. What if he sees I'm reaching for something and then take that as a threat? Like, if it's daytime, I feel a little more safe. Generally, I'm not like when a cop comes, I'm not like crying. I'm about to die, obviously. But I get a little nervous sometimes. Where I'm like, shit. Yeah. Make sure my windows are all the way down. There's nothing aggressive. I get nervous sometimes, man.
No, I do too.
Especially
just a little bit.
I put on a little bit of size. Like, I remember one time I got pulled over, and I weighed like 145, and it was like four cop cars. It was like, shit.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, man.
Next topic. What do you want to talk about next?
So, NFL news. Jaguars released Leonard Fournette. Would you want your team, and I know you don't really follow NFL that much, would you want your team that you root for the most to take them?
Yeah. He's one of the best running backs in the NFL.
Now, some people, he is a locker room cancer. That's what some people have been saying. I think it's because he speaks his mind like on Twitter a lot.
Yeah.
He like talks shit to other players openly, like on Twitter. He'll talk shit to fucking random people, owners. Like he doesn't hold his tongue at all. Would you still? I 100% would want him.
Yeah, me too. He's a running.
It's not like he's not putting up no 30, 20, 25 touchdown season or like that. But he's still good for 1,000 yards, right? He's still young, right? So put him with Tua, bring him to Miami, I'm all about it.
I'm not going to give
no max contract, obviously, because I don't really believe you really give too many running backs unless you're like a Marshawn Lynch in his prime or LaDainian Thomas in his prime, AP in his prime.
Yeah. Even
those guys mad contracts. But, like, if you're not busting out 1,600 yards or 1,300 yards and 20 touchdowns, I'm not really wanting to give you math. This is me, though.
Just think about
it. I'm not in that GM.
For Jacksonville, he's played with terrible quarterbacks.
True.
Terrible offensive line. No good receivers. No good tight ends. Nothing. Nothing. Jacksonville had a good defense, but – like nothing around him. So the other team's game plan was 100% stop him.
Yeah, like no one was afraid. Like Jacksonville offense coming into town.
Except he was the only threat. Just imagine if you put him in a situation where, he has a good quarterback. He has a good line. He could do what Zeke does. Whatever Zeke is doing. You plug him in, he could do the same exact stuff. It, I mean, so if you go to the right situation, like I'm thinking Pats with Cam. You feel me?
Oh my God. I do not put that evil on me, bro. We already got to worry about Cam. I am not trying to worry about fucking Leonard Fournette and Cam Newton, dude. Nah.
See Jeff Thomas a little bit. I see him a few of his highlights.
Dude, so I've heard, again, good things out of Jeff Thomas. He's not on the first team, though, when I saw the depth chart comes out at first. But this is still training camp and everything. Also, man, I've been hearing good news now about John Garvin, man.
I saw that, too.
Heard he's getting sacks. Heard he's looking nice, almost like a freak again. I'm like, look at this guy. I want all of our boys to make an NFL roster. I want all of them to make the 53-man roster. Like, I'm proud of those guys. I'm happy, man. I'm hearing really good things about DJ. Yeah. Really good things about KJ. Now Garvin. Heard things about Jeff Thomas. I haven't really been hearing anything about Bandy. I heard he was the Steelers. Haven't heard anything about. Actually, heard good things about Shaq. I seen some highlights. Shaq balling, looking like a solid linebacker. I don't know if Pink signed with anybody yet though, because I know he took some time off because he's injured.
Yeah,
but I haven't heard anything about Pink. Have you heard anything?
Nah, I think he's just recovering from injury before he signs with the team.
Yeah, Pink. That's what I heard. That's what I heard around the draft time.
I love it. He was my favorite player on the team.
I like him too, man. I like that guy, man. He had the swag, man.
Yeah. I guess to talk about Hurricanes, bro. UAB in about 9 days. We're about to play UAB in 9 days.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Oh, good news, bro. Good news. Thursday, UAB plays. So we get to watch UAB play Thursday.
Okay.
So we get to see who we're going against this Thursday. I've heard good things about UAB. And honestly,
good solid team.
I'm thinking UAB could beat Florida State is the vibe I'm getting. So UAB, though they're not a powerhouse,
that's, I think
they could be a really good team.
That's not much of a accomplishment being
I know, right? Fucking shitty ass Florida State. But I heard, you know, they're a solid team. And if they look really good, and it should be a good game. Obviously, I still expect us to dominate them, but I think it should be a good game. I'm hearing good things. I'm excited to watch them play Thursday. Tickets have been picked up. I've seen people pick up tickets for Georgia Tech, UAB, Florida State. So if you're listening and you're in Miami and you want some tickets, there are tickets available. I don't know if there still are, but I know there was. But have you seen like a highlight, you know, Miami Hurricane football right now is famous for having a 5-hour practice and giving us a 3-second fucking highlight clip.
Yeah.
But O-line looks good. At least, of course, it's highlights, right?
Yeah.
Them boys look. They look hungry, man. They look. John Campbell is probably right now my favorite lineman. I seen him in a video. Clabby saying, "We here now. We here now." Like, I'm like, well, finally, where the fuck y'all been last year, bro?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They look so aggressive. They look like Garen Justice has them boys playing right now. And I know, but they looking good. And remember, they're going against Quincy Roche, Jalen Phillips, Jahari Harvey. Like, they're going against really good guys. I heard Patrick Joyner, he's going back to defensive end instead of linebacker, which was his position out of high school, which he was dominant in high school as a defensive end. So, they're looking good. Man, like, I'm hyped again, man. I'm not going to lie. I keep trying to tape my expectations. And every year, I get hyped as fuck again. And now we're 9 days away, and I'm hyped as fuck again.
I think this game, this first game, I think it's going to tell us what type of team they're going to be for the season.
Oh, definitely. Because we only got this game, and then we go literally, it's just all conference games.
If they go in, they dominate. If they're dominant and they blow them out, they should blow them out. You know, if they do that, then I think, yo, we're going to have a great season. But if it's a struggle, I'm going to lean towards a struggle, but I'm going to lean towards it might be a little bit of a bumpy road. They come in, they
dominate. You are 100%. But though, it's first game. But you are 100% right.
You remember what it was, okay? 4 years ago, the App State game.
Yeah, I remember that.
When we went to App State, everyone thought App State was going to upset us.
Hell yeah, I remember that.
And bro, we went in there. Mark Walton
beat the dogs, you know?
Bro. We punched them in the mouth. We're like, yo, we're better. We got more talent. We went in there. We punched them in the mouth. That's what I want to see, is just go in there, punch them in the mouth, win by 30 points. You know, that's what we should do, but we will. I think with King, we should do that. We're going to have.
Yeah, I definitely feel like we should. And then we got Brevin back.
Yeah.
He's huge on offense. But here's the thing. Remember this, too. The O-line is all experienced now.
Yeah.
We're rolling out two freshmen against Florida, redshirt freshmen. We're rolling them all out. But now we got redshirt juniors, we got seniors, redshirt sophomores, true sophomores, all with game time experience. They've been in that Thiele program for 2 years now. Like, they all, like, conditioning is looking good. They're all looking strong, aggressive. Like, bro, like that. Like, I'm also shout out to UAB. I'm proud of UAB. Them boys, they stayed healthy. They looked solid. Like, they taking this shit serious as well. They've been prepping, practicing. I am super fucking excited to play against UAB, man.
Yeah. I heard he's a pretty good coach, too.
Stupid, dude. Florida State look trash.
Yeah. Who's Florida State playing Georgia Tech? First game, I believe.
To open the game? Oof.
Yeah. I think the same thing with Florida State. They go in, they beat Georgia. If they just beat them, I'd be like, okay, yo, they might be decent this season. But I think Georgia Tech is going to maybe not blow them out, but I think they're going to beat them pretty easily.
I mean, it's going to be a good game. And it's still crazy watching Georgia Tech playing a traditional style offense versus that triple option. That shit, it don't feel real, man.
It don't feel right, man.
Yeah. But to be fair, they used to be like before what was it? Paul, what the fuck was their head coach name?
Paul Johnson.
Before Paul Johnson, they weren't triple option, I don't believe so.
No.
If they've been doing it for so long, that's all we think of now. But now they went back to, all right, cool, they're going to be running like a regular offense, whether it be a spread or a pro style or whatever. I'm just super excited to see us in a true spread. Man, like with our athletes, and they've been saying everyone's been looking so good because they're actually – using our athletes the way our athletes are best fit to be used.
Yeah. I heard
it took us so long. It's 2020 and we're finally doing this.
Did you hear what Blake Baker said about Jalen Phillips?
Come on, now you know I did. You know I did, man. Because don't get me wrong, again, it sucks Groot's gone. But Jalen Phillips was the number one player in the country. They say he looks like a created player on a video game. He's unstoppable. You see that fake spin move he hit, bro? Come on.
What this dude is gonna eat, bro. What do you think? Let's say he has a huge year.
Yeah.
Let's say Roche has a really good year. What do you think it's gonna do for Miami, like recruiting wise, if they have let's say Rousseau goes number 4 in the draft, mm-hmm. Jalen Phillips goes number 9. And Roche goes like 25. What do you think it's going to do for Miami recruiting? And they have
that means that we're locking down all the top defensive ends in the state, maybe in the country now.
Yeah.
If we go 2 years putting out first round defensive ends, and then Jafari Harvey looks like another first round defense already.
I'm talking about this year and this year's draft. They all if Roche has a huge.
Oh, if they all go this year, oh my god!
And Phillips, because they're saying Phillips is a monster. Let's say he goes top 10.
So this year, the only one leaving is Rousseau. Groot is the only one. So next year's draft, right?
Phillips can leave after this year.
No, but like I'm talking about, so this draft right now.
Yeah.
They won't be eligible for this. So.
No, they are.
I'm tripping. Yeah. I'm tripping because I keep forgetting that Groot is sitting out. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now we're on the same page. Okay. So if those three go first round this year. Oh my bro, what? I promise you, every because we got Leonard Taylor now coming in. Like we got Savion Collins. We already got some stud defensive ends coming in, and we got good guys coming in now. And if we keep that pace up, because I so if them three go this year, and Jafari plays to what we think he can play, and he also goes first, it's over. Defensive ends are all coming to the U, all of them.
Yeah,
all of them. Because we put out stud defensive ends. This is what it is.
Yeah. Do you know, like, the number one player in the country next year, the following year?
Mm-hmm.
2022, he might be number one. He's top five player. Shamar Stewart, he's a DN from South Florida.
Uh-huh.
He's like, what was he like? 6'5", 250. He's a junior, and he's, like, running a 4.5.
And that's what we've been putting out, man. Hey.
Yeah.
Dude.
It just to me, your best recruiter is the NFL draft. If you're getting guys drafted really high, that's your best recruiting tool over any.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Oh, 100%, man. And I'm telling you, it's looking real good for us right now, dude. And if we keep the rotations in coming and everybody eating, bro, it's gonna be unstoppable. Yeah. We're gonna be It's just in our offense. If our offense can just match our defense, now corners. What I've been hearing is Al Blades might be losing that, which I don't think so, obviously. But what the streets is saying is that Al Blades might be losing that spot.
To who?
I'm hearing. Look, it's crazy. This is what the streets saying, and we'll obviously probably be wrong. But I'm hearing, obviously, Blaze is going might move over to that number one. Not Blaze, but Ivy might move over to that number one spot.
Yeah.
And then to Corey Couch.
Yeah.
Might be coming in for the number two spot.
I think that's what no the streets are saying.
I don't believe it, though, because I still think Al Blaze is our best corner.
He's our best corner.
Because people are saying, oh, he's getting beat. But I'm like, I think what is happening is they're showing some highlights. And he's getting beat in highlights. I'm like, yeah, every corner gets beat. Chan Bailey got beat. So I think they're showing highlights, and that's what the streets are saying. Oh, he's going to lose their spot. So that's what I think it really is. But that's what the streets are saying right now.
Frierson.
Yeah, so here's what happened with Gil Frierson. He put out a tweet talking about some cryptic-ass tweet. You know how they be doing. And it was along the lines of, like, doing what's best for me or something like that.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, my God, he's transferring. And I was like, bro, what if he's talking about, like, breaking up with a girl or something? Like, so, because, again, but these streets are crazy, bro. Anyways, the streets are saying that Keontra Smith might have took his reps. But they're going too deep anyways. So it doesn't matter. Where would you even transfer to during COVID anyways? And then I sit out of here. So I don't think he was leaving, man. I think he just put out some tweet, and it could have been 100% not even talk about football. But of course, the streets ticking around with it.
I saw something last season. I'm not saying it bothered me, but I know it bothered a lot of people with Frierson. Like after the FIU game,
yeah,
he was like taking photos with a bunch of the players on the other team.
Yeah,
did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that. I remember that one.
Do you did that bother you at all? I know it bothered a lot of people because, like, bro,
like those were his friends since they were kids. That's like you and your best friend as a kid play football with each other, and you want to take a picture. No, fuck you. Like that's your friend. Like they still talk. They still both live in Miami. Like they probably both still hang out every day.
But
they just play. And like, oh, let's take this picture.
Do you?
Those are his friends.
Do you want to play? You want to play on your team? That takes photos with the other team after they lost a game. They should probably the most embarrassing loss in school history.
It definitely was. I don't know if that or the Louisiana Tech blowout game was. Those two are in one season tied for the most embarrassing loss that I can remember in my life. Even worse than 58-0 to Clemson, because Clemson was a good fucking team. That again, that doesn't bother me as long if he was performing, which he was. That don't bother me. I don't look that much into it. I understand, like, now, if you didn't know anyone, like, if you just lost to, like, Nebraska and you out there, like, partying with Nebraska players, yeah, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? But it's like, I can't blame a kid for like taking pictures with his homeboys. When you live in the same city, they probably went out that weekend before and that same night. And they probably like their parents are probably like friends and they go to each other's house for Thanksgiving. Like, yeah, they're tight. You know what I mean? You can't be like, no, fuck you. And I'm gonna see you at Thanksgiving and be like, nah, it's still fuck you. Like, no, like,
nah,
they're probably like close like family. So I can't really blame them for that.
Yeah, I think
I get some people being mad, but
yeah. Yeah, and like I said, it didn't bother me, but I saw it did bother other people. But
of course,
him with you know, the other players we mentioned on past episodes, this is his like make or break year, bro. You know?
Yeah, this is money year.
Yeah, Pope, Ivy, Nesta,
yeah,
all these guys. Like, yo, it's
Harley Blades. It's all their money years, man. Even some linemen.
Yeah.
If you guys want to get this money, man, like, this is the fucking year to do it.
Yeah.
You know? But, hey, man, look, I'm looking forward to it, man. Look, everyone's looking good. You know it's crazy when they're showing highlights of kickers. Or Borealis, like, his kick going in. That's part of the highlight. Everybody's like, let's go! We making extra points again! I'll never take extra points for granted ever again in my life, dude.
Yeah, Bubba Baxter.
We had Money Badger, and we were kind of spoiled because it was like, oh, it's just an extra point. Like, that's something you should make. But then we were missing those. And we was like, what the fuck is happening? So, look, hey, all the holes, I feel like, have been plugged. We haven't even seen Jared Williams. I haven't really seen him. But it looks like all of our holes are plugged. We got depth at the O-line now. We got depth at the D-line, defensive tackle. Striker right now, everything stays the same. We got depth. We got depth of safety. Our corners are the youngest probably, but we got depth at receivers. If we're going wide, we still got a lot. You know our freshmen coming to eat. I think we're looking good. Now, if God forbid something happens to De'Aaron King, then I might be a little worried because with him, I'm super confident. But –
yeah, bro. I just can't wait till Thursday, bro.
We'll see, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Thursday watching how they play, and then we play them next weekend.
All right, Zoe, you want to sign us out, brother?
Yeah, man. Hey, again, guys, appreciate you guys every single time for tuning in. I know a lot of you guys have been hitting me up about coming on. I'm going to definitely reach out to you guys soon, so just keep paying attention, man. I'm going to hit you up. We'd love to have you guys on here. We love the support, as always. I know we're just two dudes talking shit, but I do appreciate every single one of you guys tuning in, man. I love you guys. At the end of the day, baby, next week is game day. Let's go. Go Kings. Woo!
All right, bro. I'll see you, man. All right.